This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings, if you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%. Oh my God. 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her. Hi. Hello. How are we doing, Gagatrons? Thanks for joining. We're gonna vamp as people join. The one and only Drag Race Recap Podcast Instagram live thing on the whole internet. So I'm gonna say hi to y'all first. Iso, Mindy, Lily, R. Strassi, Mackley, damn it, Shellbell, James sad, Jay, why be sad? Don't be sad because you are in the company of the only internet outlet that is brave enough to be gay, brave enough to talk about drag, brave enough to say, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we talked about a show we like that was on the air? And, you know, then talked about the show we liked and then said what happened in the show. That's what we do. If you are joining us, I want y'all to support me by going to PayPal and Venmo and, you know, doing at my name, at Mono Agapian. You can give me some coins if you're bored. What else I want to say? If you like our podcast, go rate and review us. Give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. That would be fun. We will be introducing a sort of phone hotline in the coming weeks where you can leave your unpopular RPDR opinions. And we'll chat about it. We'll gab. And so stay tuned for that phone number that's going to be incorporated into our pod infrastructure. It's going to be brought to you by the good people at Mint Mobile. God bless them. Everyone else is charging an arm and a leg, but Mint Mobile only charges $30 a month for unlimited, I might add, unlimited. I'm just going to vamp a little bit more while we wait for Vin to join us, the original UK queen. While y'all are here, why not throw out your opinions on any season of the UK Drag Race, the US Drag Race? Talk to me. Tell me what you think. Tell me an opinion you have about this season that we should or should not discuss. Okay, well, Vinegar's here, so you're done. You're done. You're over. She's in cred. She's beautiful. She's stunning. She's a fucking slag. Before there were slag wars, there was the original goddess of slag. And it's you.
Hi, babe. How are you? Lovely to meet you.
Hi, gorgeous. Really lovely to meet you. Look at us. Look at us. And our hair is high to the heavens.
This is lockdown hair, literally. I'm like, okay, we're two-tone, we're long, but it's fine.
It's fine. I don't know what to do anymore. I try to trim this up, but this is just whatever.
I did this once in the first lockdown we had, and I went, I won't be doing that again. I won't be cutting my hair again. So I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to grow it out and kind of become like an extra on Castaway. Do you know what I mean? That's the plan.
It looks good. It really does look good. It does. It's that lovely.
It matches my shirt. That's why. That's why.
It's perfect. I know. Yeah. Ooh, the ombres.
Oh, yes.
Ochre. Yes.
Ochre.
Ochre doesn't
Ochre. I feel like I want to roll. I can't roll my R's. Ochre. I can't do it. I'm really bad.
You can't roll your R's?
I can't roll my R's, but I do give great head. So, you know, there's ups and downs to it all, really.
that's a good point. Because sometimes rolling an R too much could be dangerous for a penis in your mouth.
Have you seen that film, The Sweetest Thing, with Cameron Diaz?
Absolutely.
It's the scene where she gets stuck and they've got to sing Aerosmith. That's it. So,
crazy.
How
hot is that guy? I hate how hot he is.
So hot. Infuriating. I imagine that he's now just fat and, you know, just not working. That's what I imagine now.
Good.
When actually he's probably still ripped and still young.
Now he's got daddy dick. But but it feels good to, like, think bad things about him, you know?
Yeah, yeah, because I'm literally what I've just described, fat and unemployed.
You bitch. You are amazing. Oh my God, Vin, I have 800 questions for you.
Let's go for it.
Sweetest Thing. I love that you're bringing that up because that is such a queer gem. Have you seen Barb and Star? Have you seen that new film?
I've seen the trailer, but I know all about it. I've seen the trailer. So, do you know what? I might watch that tonight. I was looking for a film to watch tonight. So I might
watch
it this evening. Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
The trailer looks amazing. And I'm a big, big Christian Wiig fan as well. So I'm like, yes, let's do it. Absolutely.
It's incredible. It harkens back to that era of dumb, queer, pop, 90s, all of that.
Perfect. I'm gonna watch it tonight. 100%.
Gorge. Vinegar. Let's talk. First of all, let's talk about so many things. Overall, you left such a lasting impression on UK, the UK season. God Shaved the Queens. All of this amazing. You just did Drop. What was it called? Drop Dead. Drop Dead the musical.
Death Drop, which was a lovely play with Courtney Act and Monet Exchange and some other amazing drag kings and queens of the UK. So yeah,
tell me about the past year or two. How's it?
What's
your journey been like?
Do you know what? It's been a crazy, but like, I don't want to say it's just been crazy, but it really has been crazy. Like, it's been like, I hate that. Every time you watch some Drag Race say, how's your journey been? You know, it's just crazy. We know it's crazy, but yeah, it's been a crazy journey. Obviously, magical unicorns, all that stuff, blowjobs, the whole shebang. Here we go. What time is it over there, by the way?
It's noon where I am.
I'm so sorry to everyone. It's like 8 p.m. in London. So we're already thinking about OnlyFans and blowjobs. I'm sure you guys are thinking, I need coffee. What's going on? Anyway.
No, it's Saturday. So
true.
The BJ gets on the brain real early for me.
Straight away. So, yeah. Which is great. So we filmed back in March 2019. So so that whole year was a crazy year because I was obviously filming for that. I was on the West End doing, everybody's talking about Jamie as well. So I was kind of simultaneously living out two amazing dreams at the same time, which was absolutely like a mind boggle. So that happened and then we came out and then it was like, okay, here we go. And then obviously last year we kind of had the kind of 3 months to kind of be working and that kind of stuff. And then obviously lockdown happened in March. So it's so funny because even though I've been at home and doing a lot of stuff from home, like I've actually worked way more than I thought I would have done. Mm-hmm. I've had a lot more opportunities to do stuff. And what's nice is that there's different ways to kind of get drag out there. And I think the general public and the fans of drag are really kind of embraced the online side of it now. Mm-hmm. So like, even though it's been a really shit year, like, you know, just kind of getting stuff going, actually I've had a really great year from then and just kind of making stuff work and just getting on it really.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I mean, I live for that. I love how adaptable we are as queer people. I love that we're okay with change. We're finding ways to bring that to the internet.
You have to be versed. You have to be very versatile. If anyone ever asks me, I'm like, no, I do it all. I do it all just in case. You have to improvise, you know?
I remember, especially when I was single. I remember being like, I can do it all. which is sort of true. I live, vinegar. So, okay. You did UK. You are incredible. One question I have for you, because it's obviously no secret. I always love when I get to talk to POC queens, like, how did you rise above the bullshit that POC queens have to endure?
Oh my god, I feel like continuously rising above it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I think UK side, I think, is a little bit different from the American side, because obviously I know with a lot of the American POC queens I know from I've worked with from Drag Race, you know, you're just shocked by how that kind of tiny percent of the fandom think they have a right and a exclusivity to be as horrible as possible. Mm-hmm. For me, I've been quite lucky that I haven't had a lot of stuff kind of said to me. If I have, I've not seen it, because I'm very good at, like, not reading the comments or even just seeking out comments, because at the end of the day, I'm fucking busy. I've actually got things to do. Like,
that's it.
If I'm getting slagged off, it's fine, because I'm getting paid elsewhere, so it's all good.
Work. Do that.
And I think just in general, being POC or whatever, or white or whatever you are as a queen, I think it's just a case of what work are you putting in and what are you doing afterwards? Because I'm a big believer that it's not what you do it's not what you do on the show, it's what you're doing afterwards. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I came out the show third, so I was the third one off, mm-hmm. and I've probably worked and done a lot more amazing. Had a lot more amazing opportunities come my way, more than some of the queens that went fourth, fifth, sixth.
Totally.
So you know, I'm a big believer in what you do after, and not just Drag Race, any kind of opportunity, like the office job you've got, you know, it's what you're doing afterwards and what you're doing around to get your face out there, get your name out there, and to get people just to take notice of what you're doing and how good you are. So regardless of color of skin, it's more just like just being a person who is in this industry and wanting to make a big splash in the industry and build something out of it. You know, I'm definitely just like, just move out my way. I'm coming. I'm doing stuff. Move. If you're gonna stand still, I'm running over you. You know. So that's kind of been my motto and my way forward since leaving Drag Race.
That's perfect. I mean, this is a perfect episode to have you on too, because obviously, like, though you are very unique queens, like, there are comparisons to be made between you and Tia. You both have incredible senses of humor and even have senses of humor about some of your drag, you know, which I love when you were just like, I'm trying to do something here. I'm not the best actress.
Yeah. And this is the thing. Like, I think this is why this is such an interesting conversation, because I've had this conversation a lot with lots of different people, including Tia, because me and Tia are like best mates as well. So
amazing.
So a few things might be up and coming.
Music video.
I know, she looks it's amazing. She looks mm-hmm. great. She sounds great. So basically, we're very much camp camp men, we're camp women, and we gravitate. That's our style of drag. We gravitate towards, as opposed to wearing, you know, a gorgeous gowns and jumpsuits and wigs that do crazy things, that kind of stuff. Our thing is about performing. That is our first thing. That's our foundation. So we want to go out and entertain. We're very camp, and I feel like when you are a POC queen on Drag Race, there's been this thing that's been made up that if you're black, you have to be a certain type of queen. You have to be fierce. You have to dance. You have to do the splits. You've got to do a death drop.
Yeah.
You can only wear certain types of clothing. You can only have certain types of hairdos.
And that's so true.
You can only wear like a 1B hairdo, or you can only wear a brown or something like that. And you've got to almost aspire to be like RuPaul, essentially, if you are a black queen. And I, and me and Tia are definitely in that mindset that we want to really, you know, debunk this fantasy that if you're black, you can't be camp, like, and it's ridiculous. So my thing is, if I'm going to be a drag queen, I'm going to go, do you know what? I'm not going to do a Beyonce. I'm going to do what I do best, which is camp, which is fun, which is loud, which is all that kind of stuff, which is colourful. Mm-hmm. And whether you think, you know, the outfits are a bit this or that, whatever, I don't care, because what you're basing it off is what you've seen on Drag Race. You're not basing it off what I am as an artist. It's the same as Tia as well. And it's taken, especially for me, I can speak for myself, it's taken me a while off coming off Drag Race to kind of go back to where I started my drag, which is that I wanted to create that, as opposed to conform to what people think a black drag queen should look like, especially because we're British as well. We're not American, so I'm not going to try and do a black American drag queen. I'm going to do my version, which is black, British, loud, proud, from London, working class, and love and cherish all that, and really upsell that. And like I said, you know, you can only, well, I didn't say this, I'm going to say it now. You know, I think when you look at someone who goes on a show like Drag Race, you can only judge them on what they know then and then. So, yeah, so when I went in, I didn't know how to sew. You know, I didn't really know my kind of aesthetic 100% then, but I went in as a performer, as a singer, as a personality. And same as Tia, you can only really go in with as you are then. Give them 1 year, give them 2 years, you'll see a brand new version of that drag queen. But you can only appreciate and judge the person going on for what they know at that time.
You preach everything you said, beautifully said, especially the conversation, which isn't had enough, of like the way POC queens are treated, probably especially black queens, are like, you're black, so dance. Like, quite frankly, that bald racism happens to a lot of POC queens.
Yeah.
And white queens, we really let them do a lot of different things. You're like, what are you, camp?
I want to add to that. I think,
please.
I think if you're white and thin, you can get away with whatever you want. If you are plus size, if you're black, if you're a POC, if you're old, you already that kind of 1% of the fans will kind of club you in this box and go, oh, well, she's fat, so she's only going to be jolly. No, actually, look at fucking Candy Muse. Like, Candy Muse is this. Do you know what I mean? But you know, but because she's fat, people go, oh, well, she's going to be jolly. No. Candy Muse will give you what for.
I love her.
But I love her too. And I think it's a case of, I really want to start that kind of journey and that kind of parade of queens who actually want to debunk these things of, we can be so much more than the stereotype that you think we should be because of skin color, size, age, all that kind of stuff. So
I also, can I tell you, I get triggered when people are like, I can't understand Candy. Like, that slightly triggers me, because we appreciate a ton of dialects, and like, there's something that feels a little bit coded and racist about being like, I don't know what she's saying. I'm like, listen.
Makes me laugh is, I'm from London, and I still understand every single word this bitch is saying, and I'm entertained
exactly
what she's saying. So you know, and she's got a lisp, and she's from New York, and she's got a thick New York accent. I still know what she's saying. Do you know what I mean? So I think a lot of people are very ignorant and don't. And actually, I'm just quite happy just to be like, I'm going to be as rude as possible to this person who is an artist. But then I found out when we did our media training for when we get set up for Drag Race, people from the Great British Bake Off get trolled. So after that, I was like, oh, right. Well, okay. If Sally, who's making her cakes, someone's going, your cakes are shit, you're crap, don't ever bake again. I just think, do you know what? Everyone's mental. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Just don't read the comments.
Is she the sweet one who dances while she bakes?
Sally was just an example, but I'm sure there is a sweet dancing girl.
Sweet old woman.
But do you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine?
If Nadia's getting shit, then we're all fucked.
Yeah, we're all good. Exactly. We're all fucked. Yeah. So just enjoy yourself, I'd say.
your dream. So, okay, in regards to this episode, I want to dive in and I want to say, how fun was it seeing RuPaul mad about the H&M and so on?
It was the Tyra Banks of Drag Race moment, wasn't
it?
I was rooting for you. Yeah. Like, it was that. Like, it was that. It was good. I mean, I love a good row on TV. And what's nice is, for me, I can just watch back as a viewer and not be kind of in that moment of, oh my God, just, you know what I mean?
Y'all never got yelled at, did you? Did you ever get scolded?
Not scolded. Although me and Andrew Garfield had some words. And I was like,
really?
Andrew, just so you're aware, I've fucking got it. And he was like, okay, that's cool. And then he Spider-Man'd my face and we were very good friends.
And he blew his web on your face and you said, oh,
thanks, girl.
I love it. Oh, that's fun. What do you feel about the whole sister-sister copygate, this whole conspiracy?
Well, I have a theory that actually... Because obviously they had their 7 month break, so they kind of had time to, you know, get some new stuff. Which clearly some people still got some new stuff, like sisters' teeth and Bimini's new ass. Like they got some new stuff. I am a firm believer that actually in those 7 months, I believe that no one should have been allowed to get some new outfits. If you've got stuff to finish, like Rhinestone and that kind of stuff, go for it. But to make it fair, like, because did I get 7 months extra time to do stuff? No, I didn't. So I think there should have been a thing where everyone had to keep the outfits they came with. If they wanted to finish stuff off, absolutely go for it. Change your hair, go for it. But I don't know. I would have preferred to see a Pamela Anderson running down the runway. I would have preferred that. A wet wig, give us a show. Do you know what I mean?
That would have been funny.
Yeah, I would have really enjoyed that. But Ahura obviously wore it better. That's fine. And I think obviously when you're in that pressure cooker, especially coming back off COVID as well, everyone's nerves are on the ceiling.
Totally.
You know, I just think, okay, cool. So she might have been inspired by Ahura. I don't know. But, you know, I think Sister's a great queen. And it's a shame that people aren't, if you're not following Sister, please follow her, everybody watching, because, you know, she is a great funny queen. I know Sister from the bars and stuff in London, so she's really good. But
I think her talent spoke for her. Like, her talent was so clear this episode, and it kind of spoke for itself.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, nothing's ever original anymore. Like, I think everyone's done, I think the same idea of anything has been done about 300, 400 times, whatever. So I feel like, do you know what? Just fine. But Ahura did wear it better, though, I think.
Yeah, true.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me de-crap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer.
Oh, I'm going to say this multiple times, but before I go any further, where can we support you? I know y'all don't. I was talking to Crystal. We had her on, and like y'all don't have like those apps where we can just send you money. But where can we merchandise or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. So I have merch on tuckshopuk.com. I believe it is. Just type in tuckshop, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. What else? You can find me on Instagram at the Only Vinegar Strut. We're on Instagram right now, so you can follow me right now, everybody.
Click away.
Twitter, the Only Vinegar. Grindr, I'm on there. Everyone should be following, because there's lots of really fun stuff coming in the next few weeks/months. So yeah, fun. just give us a follow, everyone on here, if you're not already following.
Great. Too. Buy that merch, follow. I love it. Okay. Snatch Game. Before we dive in, I'm sure you've been asked this, but I want to know, because you would have been so good in Snatch Game. What were you going to do?
So there's a lady on a show called Gogglebox in the UK. I don't know if you guys get it over there, but her name is Sandra Martin. I've basically got her same haircut now, actually.
Okay.
So her name is Sandra Martin, and she's this kind of big, loud Jamaican woman who lives in South London, a place called Brixton, very working class. Her nails stop here, like they're literally long. She has like a pot noodle, which is like a ramen pot. She kind of nicks that. She farts all the time, and her and the reason why she's famous is because she just watches television, and that's why she's famous. But she's so amazing. I've met her loads of times. She's like, Vinegar, I want to be a drag king. So I'm like, we have to do something together, like as soon as we can. But I would have done her. And I'll tell you the truth. I'm still bitter that I didn't get to do Snatch Game. That was the one task. I was like, I just want to experience a good old Snatch Game. That's all I want to do in my life.
Will you go back when they do a UK or international season?
I mean, if they ask me, if I get the phone call. I mean, at the moment, I've actually got a lot coming, so I'm very busy. So I might be like, I couldn't possibly. I'm very busy. I'm not like, you know, something wrong is available. You know, I'm busy. I'm very busy, my love. But no, obviously, if the time's right and the opportunity came up, of course, I think, you know, it's always great to be part of the family of Drag Race and World of Wonder as well. So yeah, absolutely.
Won it. Okay, so that, and I have a lot of blind spots, which is why I'm so glad you're here to explain to me who the fuck these people are. And I am the dumb one, so please forgive me.
After watching some of them, I'm like, who the fuck are you doing? Who are you?
So it wasn't just me. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we pretty much have Rue poking around. We have some really sweet moments of, you know, people feeling their feelings. It's so sweet to see Ellie talk about her twin brother and Ahura. Ahura? I mean, do you know Ahura?
I've never met Ahura.
Yeah.
Never met Ahura.
My God, what an emotional roller coaster she's taken us on.
I know. I mean, it's so funny how you kind of the mask certainly slips. It's so funny. I was chatting to Bianca about this when I was working with her, and she was saying like about certain queens, and she mentioned someone on her season. Was it Laganja? Someone, and she was basically like, yeah, you know, sometimes you get these queens who are young who think they have to be a bitch, and it's like, if I'm a bitch and I'm kind of supporting my drag and my character, and that's the persona I want to put out. And actually, you know, you can be a bitch for a second, but then when does the mask actually slip? And if you try and keep on that bitch persona, at some point it's just going to slip off, and you're not be able to maintain it. It's not a sustainable character. Now, of course, if you're Bianca Del Rio and your brand is being a bitch, you're not a bitch 24 hours a day. You're a bitch on stage when people are paying you to be a bitch. But then after that, you are who you are. And I think now we're seeing that mask really slip with a horror. And she's now becoming not only the woman that we want to see on the stage, but also that really kind of sweet, vulnerable guy who is actually quite a real human. So yeah, I hated the horror when she first, I was like, oh my god,
she was rotted,
vile. But now I'm now I really like her, and I find myself rooting for her. And I think that's the thing, when people can root for you, I think you've won half the battle to be to show that you're a real person. So
totally. And I haven't had this moment with many queens, because usually when someone comes in rotted and they're I'm just like, nope. You know, it's like, you know, fool me once, that whole chestnut. But I buy it. I think she's sweet.
Yeah, and it's that kind of thing where it's like, it's again, you know, you got to remember, like, she's so young as well. She's only, what, 20, 24, something, 23, 24. And she's so young. And, you know, and the 20s are that kind of time where you're still finding yourself in a way. Totally. And I couldn't ever imagine even doing drag at that age anyway. But to do drag and then be on the biggest platforms in the world, and you're still trying to find yourself, I think it's a tough room to put yourself in.
Yes.
If you're trying to produce yourself and trying to produce a persona of yourself. So I think it's great that we're seeing this about her. And hopefully when she kind of goes on in her career, she'll be able to kind of let that guard down. And if she needs to be a bitch, she's a bitch in drag, and we love it. And we're here for that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So
totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I'm excited to see what she does next. It's okay. So here we go. Snatch Game. Let's just talk about it. Tia gives us Scary Spice. I liked it. I see what they want. They wanted a little bit more flavor, but I did like it.
Sure. Now, as an avid fan of the Spice Girls, Scary Spice being probably the first black woman I saw, and I went, oh my God, I need to be her one day. Mm-hmm. Tia's one of my best mates, but
she's your gal.
I didn't get Scary Spice. I got scared of spice, like someone who can't take spicy food. You know what I mean? I know exactly what she can do. I know that she could deliver a better character than that.
Totally.
And part of me goes, I wish he just stuck with Shirley Bassey. I know Ruth said that's a small wig. Just tease the wig up and make it bigger, then done. I just feel like she didn't have enough references of Scary Spice to go there. I mean, first of all, where's the leopard? If you're gonna, I know she wore leopard on her entrance, but wear it again. We need leopard, and we need the hair not to be so thirsty. But you know, Mel B
maybe gorgeous. Maybe more of a pulled pigtail.
I would have done the space buns. Actually,
yes, space buns,
big hair, a big black dildo on the side of Eddie Murphy.
Also, more quotes, somewhere. Song quotes.
Give me the wannabe rap. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to zig a zig. Give me all that.
Yeah.
And also, I was chatting to a friend of mine who's from Leeds, which is the same place that Mel's from, and he was like, oh, vinegar. The accent weren't right, and I was like, the accent wasn't right.
Oh, that is so funny, because as a very foolish American, I don't hear those things.
Yeah, well, yeah. Uh-huh. I heard that. I was like, oh, God. I mean, but it was okay. And the main thing is that she gave it a good go. I just don't know if she had enough references in there to really kind of push her into that next level to make it an LB. So, yeah,
not amazing. Who the hell is Psychic Sally? So
Psychic Sally is the UK's version of, like, who have you got? Teresa Caputo? Is that
yes, the lady? Yes, we have Caputo, and boy, are we ashamed.
Yeah, so Psychic Sally is basically that, but she's very camp. You know, she has a cup of tea on the go every time, but very similar to that, essentially. She's not, I wouldn't say she's like uber famous in the UK, but she's known amongst the gays. The gays, you know what I mean? Mm. She's the type of woman you go, yep, she's a gay icon, just because she's wearing glasses and a blazer. Do you know what I mean? yeah. I was nervous with Sister because obviously we've had two people do Caputo in America.
Totally.
And it's always the same. Like, it's the same, oh, I've got a vision, or I've got this, here's a card.
Or I guessed correctly, that whole thing.
And I really like what she did. And I must say, I haven't cackled as much as I had when she said to Michelle, cover yourself up, you slag. It's getting cold in here. Yeah. I literally was like, wah! I was literally laughing so hard.
So I liked her first joke too. I was like, that's a solid, I forget what it was, but it was just a solid setup punchline joke.
I wish that they gave her the chance to show a couple more, because I reckon that she had a few more jokes and nuggets in there, but obviously because of editing, it's like you've got to kind of go with who's there. But I reckon she had a few more nuggets there we could have seen, but she was great, Sister. Great.
Yeah. So, yeah, good. And okay, so next we have, of course, Lawrence as Miriam
Mangoles, one of the funniest people in the UK, British icon, hilarious. Unfortunately, Lawrence was not.
No. Okay, so I don't know her. What was wrong? I mean, maybe, yeah, what was the character right? And the specifics weren't funny? What was wrong?
I'm going to send you some videos so you can see this woman in action. She's hilarious. So I think the first joke was fine. I'm a thespian lesbian, which she is. She's a big actress. Mm-hmm. She was the voice of the... Do you guys have that Cadbury's Caramel in America? Do you have that?
Whipped caramel? Cadbury caramel?
Yeah. Do you have that in the States?
Kind of, yeah.
It's like a kind of, yeah. Yeah. So we had this advert back in the 80s and 90s where this sexy bunny would walk around. And what's so funny is that you've got this old lesbian who's the voice of this really, like, sexualized bunny. I'm the chocolate bunny. It's so funny. But, yeah, like, there were so many references. Like, she's done so many random, like, cameos and films and stuff. And her thing is, if she goes into a talk show, she'll talk and she'll tell the most amazing stories, but her mouth is absolute filth, absolute potty. And unfortunately, I'll send you some links after this. Okay, unfortunately, Lawrence just did not do it. Didn't bring it.
No.
Did not bring it at all.
Damn.
And it's a shame because he should have stayed close to home and done, like, Susan Boyle. Everybody knows. Do you know what I mean? Or there's a woman called Michelle McManus who won the second ever Pop Stars in the UK.
Okay.
Kind of like an American Idol kind of thing. And she's like this big, fat, like, Scottish girl. And she's been great, but it was a fail.
It was a fail.
Yeah,
Susan, I think also would have been a better match for the sort of horny game, like because like we had fun with Mary Berry being a slut in season one.
Yeah,
I think maybe Susan Boyle being a slut would be maybe, I don't know, maybe more
and
surprising.
Really cool, like big bushy eyebrows, the look would have been really fun as well. So it's very strange that you didn't choose Susan Boyle, but fine.
Okay, so then Ellie does Vicky Pollard, which is a character from Little Britain, right?
Mm,
Little Britain?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to see her Sharon Osbourne, but what did you think?
I thought she did a really good, safe performance. You know, I would have preferred it. I have a big issue with people who come on to do... like someone's character, like an actor's character. I'd rather you do the actor, and then you might be like bipolar, and you switch into all these different characters, and not bipolar, but like multiple personalities.
Yeah,
and you just go into all these different characters that they've created. So it was a good, safe performance. Again, I just feel like they relied on the jokes that we know from the thing without creating like a backstory of the character and like another journey for the character to go on.
It's sort of a Xerox copy of a successful comedian's character.
Well, it's a bit like when Alyssa Edwards did Joan Crawford.
Yes.
He literally just said lines the from the film.
I wasn't joking. It was just from the film, Mommy Dearest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was completely,
but it was
like,
good.
It was fine. Tace, Jane Turner, she's from Kath and Kim. She's a character on the Jane Turner is an actress who plays a character on Kath and Kim.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Cool.
Yeah.
It was a bit, again, I'm a big, like, Snatch Game, like, whore. I love Snatch Game. I've studied it. I went to drama school, people, so I know about improv and that, because that's my thing. For me, it just was a bit laid back for me. I didn't laugh at all. so I just felt it was just Tate doing just a very safe, nice, comfortable performance. The fact she stood up shocked me. She was, like, chucky neck, which was nice. I don't know. I just feel like, why didn't you go more close to home again? I think queens don't realize that it's okay to stay close to home. You're black and you're Welsh. Mm-hmm. Shirley Bassey, bitch. That's you. Like, just do Shirley Bassey. And there's so many things. I know, obviously, Ru was like, oh, she's quite grandeur. But if you're clever, you can literally make Shirley Bassey into this grand. There's a sketch that Matt Lucas actually did back in the day, like back in the 90s, where he played Shirley Bassey. And the main joke of it was that she was laying down on like a chaise longue. And she would literally just say, I sang every song of the Bond movies. And they were like, no, you didn't sing it. I did. And in the theme of Diamonds Are Forever, she'd be like, Quantum of Solace, you know, Golden Finger, like all this kind of stuff. And she'd just sing all the titles as Diamonds of Forever, and that was the joke, and it was so funny. And yeah. I think what a lot of queens don't realize is, like, when you take a character, you need to kind of SNL it, you know what I mean? Like, you need to do like a Saturday Night Live version of that character. So, like, Maya Rudolph's characterization of Beyonce is hilarious, whereas when we've had Beyonce on Snatch Game, it's always fallen flat because Maya Rudolph is taking the essence of Beyonce and making it into this kind of theatrical version. So I do believe you can turn any celebrity, boring or not, into a Snatch Game character. You've just got to really think about who they are and what makes them, what's their quirk that you can really turn on its head.
And that's what it is for me. You get a lot of points for just commitment and like, even when it's wrong, like I kind of think Bag of Chips, so like her Margaret Thatcher was not correct to Margaret Thatcher, but it was so funny to see her take on it. It was clear what her comedic point of view was. It's like, and that's it. It's like, what do you think is funny? Somehow bring that out. Like you made her a devil bitch and that's funny.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, she was horrible. Ahura giving Louis Spence. I wasn't familiar with this person, but I like the commitment personally.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Ahura did a typical thing of when you're in like improv and you want to demonstrate what you know about the person. So Louis Spence is very kind of camp, he's very kind of, he's got this massive lisp on the go as well, he's always dancing around and bopping and that kind of stuff. So the ripping of, I could tell her brain was going, right, on this line I'm gonna rip open the costume and here
legs
we go. Joke number one, I'm gonna start bopping around, number two, then the legs will be the third thing. And that was that. When actually, that's all great, but we need a bit more. In the words of Trinity the Tuck, where are the jokes? We needed some jokes. And I think, and I was saying to a podcast I actually did earlier today, actually, you know, I always find that if someone's got a career that spans, say, 30 years, actually, a lot of their really great stuff that you can really take inspiration from is in their first kind of 5 years, where they're just kind of getting out there, a bit like us on Drag Race. We're just trying to get ourselves seen, get ourselves out there. Those first kind of 5 years is when that celebrity has done some crazy shit. Do you know what I mean? Some crazy, crazy stuff. So why not go like right there and kind of go, right, I can take that back, take that bit, and create this version. So I think it was great that she put the effort in to think about visual jokes. I just wanted some actual jokes.
Totally. I mean, it surely paled in I mean, Bimini was the only person. especially when you compare it to season one Snatch Game, which is one of the best, if not the best overall Snatch Game performance. Like, Bimini just top to bottom. Yeah.
Now, this is what I'm talking about. Okay, so when you're taking a character, I think in the UK we all can do a Katie Price impression. Oh, it's the pricing, it's pricing. We all have that kind of archetype tribe of what she is, of how she sounds, how she speaks, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But what Bimini did was she took all of those things that we all know, but she also added a whole kind of world that she lives in, a whole backstory to her that I felt, you know, the implants being held hostage, brilliant, you know.
Right.
I think what's interesting about that is, and what she did so well is that she gave this version of Katie Price a whole world to live in, and we saw it.
She heightened it. She took what was true, which is like, I'm obsessed with comedy too, and like, she took what was true and then said, if this is true, then what else is true? And like, went outside of what we know.
Yeah, and that is what I mean by kind of giving it that kind of SNL kind of twist, is that is that you're taking these true facts, which are all true, but you're making it go up a level into something absurd, and that's where it needs to go. So this is why I'm still angry that I've not done Snatch Game, because
I'm upset.
I mean, some people call themselves a lip sync assassin, which I think is bad, because if you call yourself a lip sync assassin, you're bad. You're in the bottom. That's why you're lip-sync assassin, because you're shit for everything else. But I would absolutely be a Snatch Game assassin. I'm going to say it.
It will happen. Universe.
Ah, one day.
Universe, it's happened. It's going to happen.
One day.
It's going to happen. We know that. I mean, she killed it. The behavior, the stupidity. And there were well-structured jokes, too. Like the joke of, like, she was knocking, so I let her out of the closet. Yeah, I'm like, that's brilliant. A perfectly structured joke.
And I think what's great about Bimini is, because I've worked with Bimini hundreds of times and she's amazing, is that people are now seeing what I see when she's on stage, is that she's not only someone who can give a great look and a great fashion show, but she's also intelligent, and she's funny, and she can dance, and she can sing or rap, and she's got all the good. So for me, this episode just shows Bimini off to be the biggest threat of the competition. So I hope to kind of go, she's going to be the winner. I think after today, she's definitely a top two worthy for me.
I was not expecting this performance from her. I really was not. And girl, work. I mean, after Bing Bang Bong, to do this good on a comedy challenge.
Yeah, great.
That's great. Okay, let's quickly talk the runway look so I don't take too much of your time. So we're going to chirp and burp the looks. That's where,
chirp,
you know,
and burp. Ooh, gorgeous.
Chirp and burp. Yes. We're the only Drag Race podcast on the internet. So, and we're the only ones who, you know, like, rate it on a binary. Only ones.
Yeah.
bad. So if you like it, chirp it. If you're not so fond, burp it. Okay. Ahura giving us bone, corset, face, fur, ass out. What do you think?
She gave me a boner. So, you know, chirp. Absolutely.
It's a chirp. Just the uniqueness, the shapes, the geometry.
Yeah. I think it looks better in photos. Uh-huh. Walking, I was a bit like, is she going to break this? But like in photos, I've seen some of it and it looked gorgeous. But it's definitely just for construction and the imagination of it as well. Definitely a chirp. 100%. Mm-hmm.
Agree. It's a chirp. It's so weird and beautiful and reminiscent of Aquaria's weird bone.
Yeah,
face.
Yeah, which was exquisite. So love it.
Okay, Tace giving us ancient goddess of the caves, hair, nails, mouth thing.
I might have to pass on this one only because there is rumor and speculation going around that Ahura actually made the outfit for her within those 7 months. So
you're not chirping or burping, you're passing.
I'm perping.
So you said perpetration is happening.
And perpetration, yes. I'm not gonna, because and that goes back to what I said earlier. I feel like If you've got a break, you should come with what you're delivered in. Whether you packed in the first set, you keep on. So I'm gonna perp this one.
Wow, that's gaggy. Okay, that's good tea. I'll chirp it because I liked it. Wow, good to know.
I'm the worst person in this podcast. I literally am like, I don't care. I'm like, I will say how I feel. I still love Taste. I still love the people.
Of course, they're your sisters. But, I feel like you get to say the most shit because they're your fam.
Yeah, but you I'm perping. I'm perping.
Pep. Love it. Okay, perping. sister, perping. sister, giving you blonde Marge, skeleton kitty.
Oh, yeah. It was so fucking random that I've got to chirp it. It reminds me of like a Marge Simpson meets the Flintstones moment. So, yeah, I'm going to chirp it for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to chirp it too. I like the little face thing. Yeah, there's a lot of tiger prints on the runway, but I'm going to chirp it.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Work. Tia giving you pterodactyl.
Just because I'm a big Jurassic Park fan, I'm going to say chirp. Just needed a little bit more, like just some more stones and it just needed that extra little thing. But I still enjoyed it. It was camp. I really enjoyed it. So
I'm going to be rotted and burp it.
Rotted.
I just, it wasn't incredible. Yeah. I love her body though. Man, that's a good body.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah. Gorge. Good hair. Good wig too. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, Bimini Bacteria.
Oh,
love it.
Is there something bigger than a chirp? Chirps. I don't know.
Totally.
It was just great.
Totally. We had slurps.
Total chirp.
Or caws.
Let's give it a total chirp. We'll give it a
total chirp.
Total chirp. Yeah.
you didn't just give her a chirp.
Chirp.
You gave her a total chirp.
Yeah. Stunning. I mean, I actually got it straight away. Actually, what it was, I didn't know the designer, but I got what she was meant to be. So I was like, okay, cool, that makes sense to me, which is great and very clever. Again, you go from doing like character looking quite weird and that kind of stuff like, as a character, and doing that, and then go to fashion. Like that's what you do on Drag Race, you know?
Totally. That's totally. I mean. It was, it gave it to me.
Very smart. It was very smart. Very smart.
Very smart. I loved it. I love that it was different. It looked so fucking good. The way the little things moved and bounced. I was just like, oh, like that.
Yeah.
And it was what, this is weird to say, but Denali wore something like this that didn't look as good.
Oh, really?
She wore like a purple dress in season 13 that was like this, but not as pretty. And I just want to say that this is the version it should have been.
Yeah.
Work. Lawrence giving you Wilma with fucked up teeth.
I'm going to say burp, only because I liked the whole teeth idea and the comedy behind it. But I feel like I've now seen this silhouette on her every week now, bar the Monster Mash week. So I'm kind of like, okay, cool. And I don't mind the same silhouette. I mean, Bianca did the same thing, as we know. But I just felt like if you're going to do the same silhouette, this needs to be a bit more. It can't just be leopard, sorry, tiger and a big sleeve. It's going to be
totally
a bit more. So for me, it was a burp. Burp.
I think that's fair. It's fair to give her a burp. I think that's the fairest thing to give her, because you're right. It's the same silhouette. And it's just tiger. It's like, yeah, tiger. Great. Okay.
Yeah. And when you match up with five other tigers on the stage, like, okay, right. Cool. That's fine. It's
like,
fine.
If she had even had a different thing that was almost like a cave drawing or like pattern, that would have been a little bit more exciting.
Or just like a different outfit would have been exciting. Just a different outfit would be great. Yeah.
That. And finally, Ellie giving you what she calls like a pebbles look with the hair.
I'm gonna burp that as well. Burp it. Again, it was just a bit like I've seen that on Halloween with a few people.
Totally. She's worn this silhouette before a lot too.
I'm just really annoyed because when she came in, I was like, okay. You know when Trixie Mattel had her glow up and she's now Trixie Mattel as she is now? I felt like we were seeing that version of Trixie come in to the workroom first day. And I was like, wow, this one is great. This is a really polished look queen. And then I've been a bit disappointed with a lot of her runways, actually. I think you're right. We said it's that same kind of silhouette where it's quite samey, but then it's almost too jarring sometimes. So I feel like she just needs to go with something completely different. So yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty, but I feel like I've seen it a little bit, so I'm going to give it a light burp.
It would have been, it would have been nice if, because she's been quite costumey through the series. It actually would have been nice if she took like the same route as Bimini, where it was a bit more fashion and a bit
that
more.
Would have been,
just not saying
so exciting.
Not saying that's now Ellie's aesthetic, but just for a change up for her, just to channel a different storyline in her runway would have been quite exciting. So,
yeah.
But she was safe. She's all good. She doesn't give a shit. Do you know what I mean? She's all right.
She's very great. That's the runway. Bimini wins. Duh. And unfortunately, we have Tia and Lawrence in the bottom, and they do a lip sync to that Touch Me, which I love this era of music. It's great. I thought it was a great lip sync. What'd you think?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, Tia never lip syncs, by the way. Like, I've never seen Tia do a lip sync in the bars. So she's always live. So I think she's really turned her hat at becoming a lip sync assassin.
Yeah, I would have never guessed. She's a great performer.
Yeah, she never lip syncs. Like, she's always live. So I thought, I actually preferred, I know she's been in the third time, but I did prefer Tia's performance in the lip sync. I thought Lawrence was just lagging a little bit over that as well. But
Lawrence did give some standard drag moves, like the windshield wiper and the donkey kick. Like, it was
But I do think that Lawrence might have just a little bit more to give to the competition. I think Tia's kind of, you just hit a ceiling at some point.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you're terrible. It just means that for this occasion, you just might have given everything you've got, and it's just a case of going and then coming back again and going, this is what I've worked on over the time of the way. This is the new me. Let's go. Do you know what I mean? So
They loved her.
I'm very proud of her. I'm very proud of Tia. Like, and Veronica as well. Veronica's on my other best friends.
Oh, amazing!
We've been friends for like 10 years. So,
amazing! I can't wait to see her come back.
She's literally like heart and soul. I do keep like being like, Veronica Green's got COVID. I still wind her up, and I'm like, that's awful, but hilarious. But she's on Drag Race twice in 1 year. She's all good.
She'll be great. And now she really gets some time to bring some looks. My God, she's gonna have time.
I've been told that she's hired a horror to make her some costumes, just like Tasted. So that was a joke.
You heard it here first. Before we let you go, my dear darling, remind us where we can support you, whether it's merch or anything like that.
We've got merch on tuckshopuk.com or .co.uk, everyone's at. I've also got some cheap stuff on Etsy. Just type in Etsy, just type in me, and you'll find it. I've got some old drag con to flog to be like, get rid. Where else? Instagram. If you're not following me here, follow me here now. You can just switch them over and follow me. Also, check out me on Spotify as well. I've got my own song, Camp.
That's where you have a band.
Yeah, and I've got a band. I do have a band. They're called Vinegar Strokes and the Morning Afters. And we're like a cool, like, B-52s, Postman Jukebox covers band. And we've got some wicked songs already on there, but also coming up as well. So, yeah, it's fun.
You talented bitch. What is wrong with you? You are so good at everything.
I try. Tell RuPaul. But also, keep an eye out, because there's a very big thing coming with me, possibly someone else. So, yeah.
Possibly. Do you do Cameo? Our listeners are asking.
Yeah, I do Cameo. Yeah. And I'm very cheap. I'm not a piss take. I'm not giving it. I'm $400. No, like. $20, I think it is. So yeah, pop on over. I'll give you a shout. Unfortunately, I don't do OnlyFans. I'm sure someone's going to ask. I don't do OnlyFans. I'll leave that to Gothy Kendall and Something Wrong. So there you go.
I love it. You're incredible. If you want to support us, this podcast, you can give me some cash at Mono Agapian on Venmo, PayPal. You can rate this podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. You can go listen to the latest episode, which we have the gorgeous, stunning, perfect Scarlett Bobo on last week.
Oh, love her.
Yes. And this episode will be on the pod feed a week from today. So you can listen to it as well if you didn't get a chance to watch it, or check it out right on the feed. It'll stay here on Drag Her Podcast. Mm-hmm. You are incredible, Miss Vinegar Strokes. Till next time I see you. Love you, darling.
Love you. Bye, love.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.